the greatest danger is being thrown into the lake of fire. Most people will go there. Today, you're going to learn from Brother Dan Corner what the Bible says about how to avoid such and how to enter God's paradise kingdom. Contact Brother Dan at Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301.
Today, I'm going to answer your questions about what happens after death. One of the most common questions and concerns that people have, even religious people, is what happens after death? It should not be like that, especially if you know the message of the Bible. But unfortunately, too many people don't know the message of the Bible. So this is a very important issue to deal with. We're going to look at the biblical evidence for what happens after death. First of all, I would like to point out the point of physical death, according to the Bible, when our body dies, that is the same point when our spirit leaves. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Again, as the body without the spirit is dead, so that's when the physical body dies, when our spirit leaves. Conversely, in Luke chapter 8, verse 55, we find out when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the grave, her spirit returned to her body. Again, Luke 8:55 says, her spirit returned and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. So our body starts to decay or rot at the point of when our spirit departs. And our body is not the real you. The real you is spirit and soul. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your body's likened unto a tent or a temple. That's all it is. It's like you residing in the house. The house is not you. The real you is different from the house. So what happens after death? To concisely answer the question, what happens after death? It depends on your spiritual condition at the point of your death. That will determine your destination either to a paradise environment or torment in fire. It depends on your condition at the end of your life. Not if you were ever saved, but are you still saved at the very end of your life? So when the righteous die, what occurs? The Apostle Paul was certainly a righteous man. And he wrote in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Notice he said, for him to die is gain. He also wrote two verses later, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. He knew that when he would depart or when he would die physically, he would go be with Christ. So where is Christ? Christ went to heaven. And not only that, Paul went on and he said, it's better by far. So death, according to the Apostle Paul, was gain, and it's to be with Christ, and it's better by far than this life, but that's only for those that are living for Christ, those that are righteous. It's not like that for everyone. We'll deal with the other type in a minute. The Apostle Paul also stated something else from the righteous point of view. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So again, we see that when a righteous man dies, he's away from the physical body, that's obvious because the spirit departs, and he would then be at home with the Lord. He's going to be with the Lord, just like we read in Philippians chapter 1. And hopefully you remember in Luke chapter 23, the repentant thief asked Jesus in essence for mercy, and Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. So paradise is the place that he was going. Now bear in mind, again, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, to answer concisely what happens after death, it is one's spiritual condition at the point of his death. And that repentant thief, his spiritual condition at the end of his life changed. His identity changed from thief to righteous person. That's why he went to paradise. Otherwise, it would not be like that at all. We also learn of the word paradise in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Paul wrote about somebody that was caught up to paradise. So paradise is up. It is also the third heaven, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. And Jesus spoke of the paradise of God when he was addressing the seven churches in Asia. That's in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And in particular, chapter 2, verse 7, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give a right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So overcomers, those that die in a righteous state, they will actually get to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. So what happens after death? For the righteous, they will depart their physical body. They will go be at home with Christ, which is in heaven. It's preferable. It's better by far than this life. It's likened unto paradise. In fact, it is called paradise. And in this same place called paradise, there is a tree of life. God is there, and God is holy, and God is love, and other righteous people are there, so it's not going to be a lonely place at all. It's also a musical environment. It's a holy and righteous environment, and wicked people won't be there. It's a glorious place, and that's why it's called paradise. And as we just heard from Revelation 2:7, that the tree of life is in the paradise of God, we also see in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, another mention of the tree of life. It says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So again, we get an insight into all of this. And of course, it's even much more glorious than this. What the righteous have ahead of them for the overcomers, that is those that die in the Lord. But the other type of person, that would be the unrighteous, what happens to them? After their death, what occurs? Well, Jesus taught about that explicitly in Luke chapter 16. That is the teaching of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man there happened to be a Jewish man who died in his sins. He did not repent. We know he didn't repent because he wanted Lazarus to go back from the grave and talk with his five brothers so they would repent. So he knew the reason he was in that torment, and that's what he said, I am in torment in this fire, was because he didn't repent. Showing very clearly from the teaching of the Lord Jesus that repentance is absolutely essential for salvation. Unless you repent, you will perish. Very, very clearly, Jesus taught that here, as he taught about the rich man and Lazarus, two actual people that lived and died. And Lazarus was the righteous one. When he died, he went to what's called here Abraham's bosom. That's the side of the impassable gulf where Abraham was. He was in a place of comfort. This was before the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Since that point in time, that's why the Apostle Paul would say in Philippians 1 and 2 Corinthians 5, for the righteous, it's for them to go be at home with the Lord. You go directly to be with Jesus after you die. That is if you're righteous. But before that point, they went to Hades, to the side of the impassable gulf where Abraham was, who was a righteous man, the father of the faith. But the rich man was in torment. In Luke chapter 16, verse 24, the rich man cried out to Abraham, and he asked for pity, and he said, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. So to answer the question, what happens after death? If you die in an unrighteous state, you go to be in agony in fire. That's what happens. In Luke chapter 16, verse 28, just a few verses later, the same rich man went ahead and wanted Lazarus to go back, as I mentioned a minute or so ago, and wanted his brothers warned so that they would not come to, quote unquote, this place of torment. He himself described the place where he was at, unlike Paul, a righteous man, described what it would be like for him. This man said, not only is he in agony in fire, but he said the place is a place of torment. And that's exactly what the Bible says repeatedly. The Bible says over and over that there is a place of torment in fire. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus said, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Speaking of the unrighteous, the ones that go to eternal punishment, the word punishment, if you would look it up in the Greek, it actually means torment. So they will actually go to eternal torment, but the righteous to eternal life. So you could see, not everyone's going to the same place. If I had no other verse, just this verse alone, I would know that universalism, or sometimes called universal salvation, is absolutely wrong because not everyone is going to a paradise kingdom after their death. Jesus said some go to eternal punishment or eternal torment. Also, just a few verses before Matthew 25, verse 46, and verse 41, Jesus said, he will say to some, depart from me, you who are accursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So this place of torment, this agony and fire that the rich man was in, all of that was prepared for the devil and his angels, but people will go there if they die in their sins, if they die in an unrighteous condition, if their spiritual identity at the point of their physical death is not one of a pure heart before God. They won't see God like the promise in Matthew 5 verse 8. Instead, they're going to go to a place of torment. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, the warning is to those living at that time not to take the mark of the beast and worship the image of the Antichrist. But if somebody does, it says, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Two very contrasting destinies. And it depends on our spiritual condition at the end of our life. And when Jesus said he's the only way to the Father, and the disciples said he has the only name under heaven in which salvation's found, and we're shown also in Scripture that he is the door to heaven and the only mediator between God and man, that is 100% pure, vital truth that we need to know. The only way that we could ever escape this place of torment, this agony and fire, is to come to Jesus, the Son of God. Outside of that, we will die in our sins, and we will, unfortunately, experience horrible torment. Regardless if we were a good neighbor, a good person, so to speak, in our neighborhood, if we did kind acts and generous acts to people that were less fortunate in this natural world. You have to be spiritually pure in the eyes of God, and that is only possible through Jesus Christ and his holy blood. When you humbly and sincerely repent of your sins and come to God on his terms to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him, there will be a radical change in your life. Definitely, you will know it. You will be set free from your sin addictions, and other people around you will also notice the change. But the point is, getting right back to this thing again, this is vital that we know what happens after death and we know how to escape this wrong place and enter the right place. And this road to life is not an easy road, according to Jesus. In Matthew 7, verse 14, hard is the road that leads to life. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 41 and 42, something else that's very, very clear and very relevant to this. He said, the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you die in an unrighteous state, you will be weeping and gnashing your teeth. That shows there is no annihilation of the wicked dead. People that go into this place of agony and torment in fire, they're going to be weeping and gnashing at their teeth, which would not be possible if they were annihilated. And in this verse, Matthew 13, verse 42, Jesus described that place as the fiery furnace. The analogy is clear. You can imagine what it would be like if you were standing in front of a blast furnace. And remember, this fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25, verse 41. It's eternal fire, unquenchable fire, and it is raging fire, and people, unfortunately, will go in there too. Sometimes we just throw out the term that is hell. Well, really, the end is the lake of fire, the lake burning with sulfur. So imagine what that would be like. And it speaks of, as I mentioned in Revelation 14, verse 11, the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. So there will be a type of smoke emanating from the lake of fire. That is what the Bible says. And again, that is part of the answer of what happens after death.
Today, we often hear wicked people tell others to go to hell. We advise you not to go to hell. The only way to escape this eternal conscious torment is to place a trusting and submitting faith in the Lord Jesus for your salvation. Ask God to have mercy on you. Turn from all your sins. Obey the Holy Bible. Follow Jesus until death. We have materials that can help you spiritually. Join us in the fight for souls by sending your tax-deductible donation to Evangelical Outreach, Post Office Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Thank you.
So it comes right back around to this very clearly. We've seen thus far, it's crystal clear that people must repent to avoid this agony and fire, this place of torment, and to go to the other place, and there is only one other place. They're only the righteous and the unrighteous, and the righteous, when they die, they go to be at home with the Lord, and the unrighteous go right into this torment in fire, and they will never get out of that fire. We're talking weeping and gnashing of teeth, regret, misery, suffering. It's horrible. Consequently, all this shows how vital salvation is. Like someone said, your salvation is as valuable as eternity is long. So how long is eternity? There's no way to describe that because it will extend into infinity, endlessness, timelessness, and your salvation is that important. The value of your soul is that important. What shall a man gain if he gains the entire world and loses his soul and is cast away? Paradise is for the pure in heart, according to Matthew 5, verse 8. They are also called the righteous. Another passage, really, it's two passages mingled together. When they're spliced together, they really illuminate the truth regarding the fiery lake of burning sulfur. In Revelation 19, verse 20, but the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And then, 1,000 plus years later, we read this verse, which is connected with the verse I just read. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented. Notice the word torment. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So they weren't annihilated. After 1,000 plus years in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, they were still being tormented in that fire. That's what will happen to all that go into the lake of fire. Now, there are people that have other views. There are some people, in fact, a large amount of people on the globe that believe in reincarnation. Reincarnation is not true. We know it's not true because Jesus never taught reincarnation. Reincarnation is the idea that after your death, you're going to be reincarnated. You're going to come back in another body, that is, depending on your karma from your past life. If you did good or bad, that will depend what kind of person you are reincarnated into. That is absolutely not the biblical message, and therefore, because it's not the biblical message, it's not God's word. It's not God's truth. It's not something that you should entertain even for a moment. There is no reincarnation. And furthermore, a very, very big and popular idea is this thing called near-death experiences. Near-death experiences are extremely deceitful. They're not always 100% deceitful. Some of the near-death experiences are encouraging and some are biblical. But there's the problem. Because it is inconsistent, because it's not always in accord with God's written word, because of these inconsistencies, they are very dangerous. They are deceitful. And I'll show you in a minute why it's like that, because people have had these death experiences where their heart stopped beating and they found themselves in heaven. Now, some of these people were Christian people. Some of them went correctly to a place of paradise, a wonderful, glorious place, but that's not always the case. Sometimes with these near-death experiences, people go to heaven that never even believed in heaven prior to their physical death. They were atheists. They were agnostics. And they went to heaven anyhow. We know that can't be true. But nonetheless, that is the experience of some people. Notice I said near-death experiences. We have to test experiences like we test visions and dreams and testimonies with the Word of God. And any experience, it doesn't matter if it's an NDE or whatever type of experience it might be, you have to evaluate it with God's word. And if you do that, folks, there's something very, very dangerous that's going on. This near-death experience movement if you want to call it that. These people believing in near-death experiences, they're so influenced by the experience they had. They've written books. They have had life changes, but not in accord with the Bible all the time. Because we evangelize as much as we do, we witness to people, we hand out gospel tracts where we go. In my lifetime, I remember witnessing to at least two or three people that have had near-death experiences. And at least one or two definitely was not based on the Word of God. And trying to get them to believe the Bible, the written Word of God, over their experience was almost impossible. In fact, after I finally finished talking with them or writing them through email or wherever it was, I gave up. It didn't seem like they were going to be changed. They weren't going to receive the eternal Word of God. They placed their experience above the written Word of God to their own harm. Today, what I would like you to hear are actual testimonies of agnostics and atheists who died and went to heaven. That's right. That's what I said. I said they died and they went to heaven, and you're going to hear their exact words. I'd like to begin with a neurosurgeon named Eben Alexander. Listen to what Eben Alexander said about his experience.
When I was younger, I thought a heaven and a loving God made sense. But through my academic neurosurgery career, I saw less and less that that could be the case.
Next on the list is agnostic Crystal McVeigh. Listen to what she said.
I knew exactly where I was. Here I had been a skeptic my whole life. I gave my life to Jesus Christ at 8 years old. However, because of the abuse that I had suffered as a child, decisions that I had made as a teenager, I doubted if he loved me, and then I doubted if he was real.
Finally, this is former atheist Nancy Rines. She also had a near-death experience, and she went to heaven. This is what she had to say.
Having been an agnostic and an atheist most of my life, didn't even believe in heaven until I was there.
Folks, Nancy didn't even believe in heaven till she was there, according to her own testimony and experience. Could that be possible? Never. Not according to Scripture. Folks, what these people testify to don't square with God's eternal word. Unbelievers will be damned. All of them are going to the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice the magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The same source that gave us Revelation 21:8 also spoke of paradise. It spoke of Jesus and the love of God and the beauty of heaven and everything else. And lo and behold, clearly here it says the unbelieving are going to a different place, a fiery lake of burning sulfur. But that's not what their experience says. Imagine that. There's something wrong. How could that be? What has happened? Strange as this might sound, our adversary, our enemy, the devil, is very, very powerful. He can give visions. He can cause things like this. He can even perform miracles, believe it or not. That's why we have to examine everything carefully with the Word of God. And if we do that, especially in this case, we must not rely upon what people testify to. Near-death experiences are not reliable. They're not consistent with the Word of God all the time. And because they are not all the time consistent, because of these inconsistencies and contradictions, therefore we know there's something seriously wrong. They're seriously flawed. And when anyone would say that they were an atheist or they were an agnostic and they went to heaven after they died, you can be assured that was not God that took them into his real heaven, into a real paradise like the Bible speaks of. Some other experience occurred because the person wasn't, as we might say, dead, that they never came back. They did come back. Somehow, some way, the devil was using that. Now, Jesus said in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." This place we called heaven or paradise is a place prepared by Jesus for the righteous, because that's who he's speaking to. He's speaking to his disciples. It's not just going to be the 144,000 going to heaven as the Jehovah's Witnesses want us to believe. No, don't believe that. There's going to be a lot more than 144,000 in God's paradise kingdom. Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. That's John chapter 12, verse 26. So tell me, where did Jesus go? Jesus went to heaven. If you're his servant, according to John chapter 12, verse 26, you're going to heaven too. It's not limited. It's not restricted to 144,000. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love him. So now we get another very important tip about who will inherit the kingdom of God. What happens after death for those that will go to this place called heaven? We don't really have the full details. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. However, we're told in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, that those people, the righteous people, they love God. And to love God is to obey God. That's to do his will. Jesus said, my mother and brothers are those that hear the word of God and they put it into practice. So you got to put his word into practice. In James chapter 2, verse 5, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? So these are the ones that will get into his paradise kingdom. This place of comfort, this place of love, this holy environment where blessed are the pure in heart will go. The exact opposite of those that will go to fiery torment. Here again, we see they love God. And they love God based on what the Bible says. And to love God, you're going to have to love Jesus. And to love Jesus, you're going to have to follow him. You're going to have to stay with him. And again, I want to magnify this. This is vital. Please remember this point. If you only remember one point in this entire message, let that point be this. It is your spiritual condition at the end of your life that will determine where you go. If you came to God and there was a radical change in your life, and afterwards you backslid, well, there's false teachers out there, ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing that are saying you're still on the road to heaven. That there are Christian drunkards and Christian thieves and Christian murderers, and you're going to enter the kingdom of God. Folks, that is not true. The Bible says very clearly we must endure to the end to be saved. You got to stay with God. You got to finish the race, and not everybody does that. And that's why the devil tempts. That's why the devil tries to lead us astray. So different things can happen. You got to endure. It's not an easy downhill slide into the kingdom. There's no universalism, no reincarnation. Near-death experiences are not reliable. The only reliable source to answer that question, what happens after death, is the Bible.
Thank you for joining us. Write for a free packet of ministry material to Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, PA 15301. That's Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, PA 15301. Your prayers and financial donations would be appreciated to help us spread the gospel. Remember, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Hebrews 3:14.